It's his spare centipede.
That's yours, is it?
Yes.
So item one on the agenda, apologies for absence. We have apologies from councillors Leeson, Chris Barron, Green and Pearce. Mr. Murphy.
Any declarations, Mr. Murphy? An additional item on the agenda, I'd like to ask Lee Patrick Parrish to explain.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have to say I've been here 20 years and I never know what to call you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, Mr. Mayor, I'll call you Mr. Marshall. Thank you for indulging me. I asked through Councillor Beattie to address the Council about an announcement of significant importance to the borough. And in fact, I'd like to invite Councillor Beattie to make that announcement, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The announcement I'd like to make is that we have, over the past few months, we've put together a bid to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, particular bid. And we, I would like to tell you that today, as of this morning, the government has announced that we've been awarded our bid in its entirety. At a time when many authority bids failed or only got partially succeeded. So it's a massive tribute to the work that our officers have done alongside the members. I'd say it shows confidence by government that we have the ability to run these projects and to make a success of them, take them to completion. The funding breaks into, I suppose, three large blocks. One very much concentrates on stone, and it includes, for instance, the fitting out of the Crown Hall Theatre, resurfacing of Westbridge Park, the Stout Building, and two car parks at Westbridge, as well as solar panels for the Leisure Centre. I fought very hard and talked to our MPs to get money for investment into our rural borough and into rural investment. And I'm very pleased to say that the initial announcement is the grants, rural grants for business to business, and a rural workspace study to identify new capital projects that we might put forward. And I should say that we're waiting to hear about another bid that we put in under the same funding, which is the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, under the Rural Fund, which is for £480,000. So we'll be letting you know how we get on with that one. And then specifically for the economy, support for the Technology Institute, the Newcastle and Stafford College, and for the new Innovation and Technology Centre, which is still to be built. We've been allowed to put forward some more money into the History Centre in Eastgate Street, it's due to come on stream at the end of next year, and further investment in the High Streets Fund allocations that project's being rolled out. You'll see a lot of work from January onwards, as well as support for green projects that we've got there for. Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Karen. That's good news.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Only just heard this news. On the face of it, does sound like really good news, and we look forward to hearing the details. And as always, to thank the officers of the council for working hard to get this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just come back? We will make sure that we put the information onto the web as quickly as we possibly can for everybody to see.
Yeah. I should throw them. The appointment of section 1.1, is that? And I believe that's about to be
you. As you know, Section 9 Parliament is one of the most important officers involved in the local authority. And clearly, it's at the heart of the financial issues around the authority. I'm very pleased to propose that Mr. Chris Forrester is appointed as the Section 1 Parliament Officer, having successfully gone through an interview process. And as you know, our immediate past finances, retirement, has also been covered with bonds on a mutual basis. So I'd like to thank Tim Lewis for his assistance during the period. This proposal, as I said, is to propose that Chris Forrester is appointed as our new Section 1 Parliament Officer. Delighted to say that he was local and on that basis I seek to put forward the proposal.
Thank you.
Could I second that, Mr. Deputy Mayor?
Any comments from
members?
Myself and several councillors attended the Councillor Skelton's funeral today. Second note to the Borough Council, house service will be held in the Village Church St Mary's Chapel on Sunday the 18th of December at 6:30, and invitations have already been circulating. And the third item, the third part, the Mayor's Black and White Charity will take place in the Staffordshire County Showroom on Friday the 17th of February next year. Invitation will be sent out shortly. Move on to the fourth item, business takes the shared services.
First of all, thank Tim Craig and his office at the Tallbacks and staff at the authority for undertaking a review which started about 18 months ago. I know that it has taken many hours of very hard work, and I just want to ask the council to note their thanks for that. But I also thank Tim Clegg in particular for offering to devote his time to attend and present to political groups and more certainly his additional information and assistance was much appreciated by my group, and I'm sure it was by Labour policy to who I know also took up the opportunity. As you know, we have talked in this chamber, and indeed on the very first occasion at Rising Book Baptist Church, about shared services, and so we have ruminated and cogitated over these proposals for quite some time. And I have more hesitation in saying and accepting that during my time on the authority, which is now approaching a couple of decades, this is probably one of, if not the most important decision this authority will take. A couple of examples, of course, we made a decision to transfer our housing stock, and we made a decision to transfer our provision of leisure services. And we also, of course, in 2011 started down the road of shared services, and that of itself was a decision that required much debate. But as I said, I do accept that this is probably the most important decision, certainly during my time here. I have spent a great deal of time making representations in a number of meetings, both to full council and the cabinet and elsewhere. So what I'm not going to do this evening is to go through this report page by page, and I'm sure the size of the leak will round on that basis. But what I want to do is really just point to you, if you can bear with me, to what I've described as the drivers and the core themes that are apparent from these proposals. And so, just getting over the formal part of the process, I do want to submit that the Council accepts the recommendations which are set out at paragraphs 2.1 to 2.4 on pages 6 and 7. And as I said, I think it's important to summarise what those main drivers are. We all know that over many years, the revenue support grant from central government has been reducing. And I would hope that everyone here would accept that it actually doesn't matter which colour, which political party is in power in central government. I hope it's an acceptance that that core statement is never going to change. I don't see the will in any political persuasion to increase revenue support grant. And so that's the starting background. We have across the country uncertainty with business rates. In Stafford in particular, we know that if there were to be a change, it would likely adversely affect Stafford. We have the reduction on a continued basis in new homes bonus. And we have things about which none of us either expected or could control. And of course, I'm talking about the continuing after effects of the COVID epidemic and the global difficulties which have led to inflationary pressures and so on. Sadly, touched of course by continuing financial pressures from the war in Ukraine. And so, against that background, one of the main drivers behind this proposal is that, in essence, that having gone through shared services for a period of 11 years now, we can say with some certainty that having regard to the proposals around sharing chief executives, senior management team and services, we're looking to save on an ongoing basis approximately £500,000 to £600,000 per annum, and that's for each authority. There are also other just as important issues, however. So we look about issues around capacity and resilience, and we all know that over the last few years we've lost some superb, very experienced officers, and that's affected the resilience of this council, as undoubtedly other councils have also had upon reflection. So we've lost the likes of Bob Keane, Rob Simpson, Norm Jones, Alistair Welch, I mentioned just a few names in recent times, all of whom you would say, I would hope again unanimously, that their experience is almost impossible to replace. And it's affected the council's resilience and the ability to deal with very complex issues in today's climate. And so, again, the report reflects that that capacity and that resilience would be better served by joining proposals set out. It adds that extra layer of resilience. It helps with recruitment and with staff retention, amongst other things. As I said, we have a history of shared services, and actually it tells us that it works. So if I look specifically at page 12, paragraph 5.15, it reinforces, I hope, what I have just talked about in relation to a shared senior management team having the ability to make decisions, align systems and processes across both councils rather than two different sets of managers. And again, somewhere in this report, forgive me, I haven't made the notes of the page number, but there is a reference to the proposed saving in line with the table shown on page 49, about £88,000 straight away. We know that a number of other councils already do it successfully. There are a number of examples throughout the country. And I think, importantly, the LGA, who has no axe to grind with anybody, has conducted an independent review. And I pick out page 13, paragraph 5.21, their words suggesting that the business case and the drivers which have been identified set out a compelling case for both councils. The proposals are well researched and evidenced whilst respecting the circumstances of each council. And those circumstances, again, that we touched on previously, talk about sovereignty being paramount. But this is not a merger, this is effectively two councils retaining their own control, but agreeing for the reasons that I have suggested that shared services is appropriate. You will know that devolution has been a very important word coming from central government. The drivers behind devolution talk about things like elected mayors and unitary authorities. In Staffordshire as a whole, we have taken the view that we don't want an elected mayor. We don't want a unitary authority if we can avoid it. And so another benefit from sharing services in the manner proposed helps us to go back to central government and say, look, this is what we're already doing to assist with the saving of finances, sharing services. You don't need to interfere with your central proposals. As far as I'm aware, Council, there isn't a time limit on this matter. Unless you're tapping your watch for some other reason.
Of course. thought it was 5 minutes, Mr. Baird.
Well, it's the last item on the agenda of such importance, and I have nearly finished.
You may be speaking to the converted.
I'm very grateful for the steer, Councillor. Shall I sit down now?
Absolutely. You'll save an awful lot of time.
If I'm sure, Councillor Cook, can I just... It is an important item. It is the only item on the agenda. And the Leader of the Council is coming up the point. Once he's made his point, obviously...
Sorry, Mr. Deputy, it wasn't the only item on the agenda.
No, it's the last item on the agenda.
And so, in fact, I'm sure that these are learning Councillor Cook, but that was really the final bullet point that I wanted to talk about in some detail. I think it's important just to bring out, as you've seen from paragraph 2.1, that these proposals exclude the management and running of elections and housing services and the management of the housing revenue accounts. So that's an outline summary, Mr. Mayor, of the proposals. I started by thanking our Chief Executive, Senior Management and staff, and I want to finish by saying that, of course, without them, we cannot seek to achieve the proposal, and I thank them for their patience and diligence in this process so far. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. The second of the proposal,
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'd like to second the proposal and reserve the right to speak.
Thank you. Comments anymore? Councillor Hook.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The Leader of the Council touched on a number of names that are no longer here. I particularly miss Robertson, to me, was the backbone of the council. But they haven't just left or been forced out. They've retired, I think, most of the names that you mentioned. And of course, health services. So they can deliver. Well, of course they can deliver. It's their jobs. It's in their interest to deliver. 11.8. Each council will retain its own scrutiny committee. The committee will not, however, have the right to scrutinise the progress of the delivery of shared services. Shared services should be scrutinised by a cross-party committee. This will limit scrutiny committee powers. Why should it be the joint operational board to have the powers to scrutinise the shared services? Yet again, we hear medium to long term to eventually form a scrutiny committee. 12.3 and 4. It says when you have a new shared service, it will be subject to change and may result in a change to the method of apportioning costs between the two councils. That we must respect independent decisions of each council regarding the configuration of its services. Who will decide on these calculations? Can we expect them to be independently decided? I can't find it anywhere. 12.5. If a proposed change is owned by both councils, costs will be shared 50-50 unless otherwise agreed in advance. Why 50-50? Our two councils are not the same size. This is another opportunity for scrutiny committee that should be used for the paper. Pay grading, 14.5 and 6, says there needs to be acknowledgement that there will be an expectation of harmonisation upwards both in terms of salaries and allowances, and the cost of this should not be underestimated. From the information I independently gathered, the staff terms of pay, job evaluation, annual leave and conditions within the two councils are not at all equal. It suggests that a decision be deferred on creating a new job evaluation scheme for consideration in 3 to 5 years. The message I get from the proposal of process of shared services is one of, we'll deal with that later, and read it over and over again. were deserting the sinking ship. And no wonder when there's been no consultation process with them whatsoever. No consideration has been given to them other than they're told there will be union involvement. They should have been consulted. Perhaps someone was gathering to the divorce settlement if this all goes wrong. There's not even a prenuptial agreement. I have no faith in this proposal, and it will be very interesting to see what hits the fan after next year's election. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other comments, anyone? Ruth's comment, Councillor Burke, before we.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I did just want to pick up a couple of points. I think we all recognise the role that the senior leadership team over a number of years at this Borough Council has done, because the LGA specifically references as part of the peer review that the Borough Council is a financially, operationally and strategically well-run council. They're an independent body, as we've already heard this evening, and given their views and their analysis, I would put a lot of store in what they had to say. And I think it's kind of to look at the council once. They came back a second time to review progress against the action plan that we put together. So, yes, we did have a senior leadership team over a number of years, but the reason we need to go down the shared services route is that we need to make sure that we are an employer of choice, a council of choice, which people want to join and join as a career path. And the whole purpose of this gives a much more structured and wider opportunity for career development and to attract and retain the best possible staff. I think that is also one of the reasons why, it's interesting, I have been married once. It is one of the reasons why when I first got married, I didn't go and ask for a prenuptial agreement, because actually, sometimes you have to have an element of trust that what we're doing is exactly the right thing. Other people have been married before, and I felt fairly sure that there would be a clear way through and way forward, and indeed there was, so I didn't really need a prenuptial agreement. I think if you start with the prenuptial, it tells you all that you need to know about where the route forward. I would vehemently disagree with the positioning that this is a sinking ship. This is a choice that we have as a council to go and do something different and to make sure that we're delivering the best possible services for our residents for the long term, as has been mentioned previously. I would also take exception, and maybe the question could have been asked previously, had other people taken the opportunity of meeting the Chief Executive and his team to actually talk about some of the process that we've been through. It's been a thorough process. There's been a discussion that has been going on for 18 months or more now. Shared service is something we've done 10 years ago. It's an extension of what we already do. But I would vehemently disagree that there has been no consultation with staff, because I'm very clear there has been significant consultation with staff, both in Cannock and in Stafford Borough. And I'm sure the Chief Exec's door would always be open for those people who would like a conversation about anything that is relevant to them and our residents and the organisation. So on that basis, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'm delighted to second this proposal and to move forward towards the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to seek clarification on a point in the document.
No.
May I refer members to page 52, the heading service transformation, the budget issue as our central for in order to create successful shared services, which is essentially around the process. This will be achieved through a comprehensive service transformation process. And then, if we move down to 10.6, the last sentence, the transformation process will help determine service improvements, performance targets, opportunities to create efficiency savings, and policy-related savings which will require any decision from members. So my question would be, from where will the inevitable transformation costs be funded? I can't see reference in the government document, but it may be there in the decision. It seems to me that we are talking about significant savings intervention. We're not in a position to determine the accompanying costs, but we should know from where the government has been funded. And that would be my question to whoever I leave it to. Thank you.
Councillor Burke,
so if I answer that directly, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I will get the title rights of the CD before we finish. There is already some money that has been set aside as part of reserves from both councils towards implementing this. I wouldn't want anyone to run away with the thought that transformation of service and service improvements needs to require a budget come what may. But one of the reasons for holding reserves is to allow us to go and make some of those investments. But I think the council touches on a really good point in the two paragraphs that he raises, because I think what this demonstrates is the vision that shared services brings. It brings the opportunity to look at transforming our processes for the benefit of our residents, to bring in service improvements, and frankly, you know, with the development of things like artificial intelligence and so many other areas, we need to take those opportunities to be lean, smart, and also that employer of choice. And equally at the same stage, I think what it does also allow is the opportunity to make sure that we are spending our residents' money, taxpayers' money, wisely. So if that means we can make efficiency savings, that's exactly what we should do. And I think this document, this proposal, does exactly that. So I thank the member for raising the points of view.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other comments, anyone?
Thank you. I'm very grateful for the comments of the Chamber. I'd just like to add perhaps to Councillor Burke's response just now and say that the answers to Councillor's questions as put are contained in paragraphs 12.8 and 12.9. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Let's just vote in first. All those of you in favour of supporting the motion, do you want to? Thank you. All those against? Abstentions? Thank you. Thank you very much for your attendance, folks.
The council may have just had a determined mayor. We can go to the bar and the council chamber.
I wasn't going to.